It's been said that a good Roman soldier can go anywhere. And so if you are familiar with the book of Romans and you can work your way through it, you should be able to do well anywhere really in the scripture. We're going to read beginning with verse 1 of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives for God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. I think we'll stop with the reading there, and we can read further later on. Talks here about being baptized into Christ's death. Now I want to talk a little about baptism. I was hoping a couple of these who are thinking of being baptized could be here this morning, but anyway, what are some wrong ideas about baptism? One is that babies should be baptized. And this is very common today. I was baptized as a baby. Many parents feel, you know, I must have my baby baptized, because otherwise, if anything should happen to him, if he should be sick, he might be lost forever without the grace of God. And many people believe that. My grandmother had, with her youngest son, he had a time of real serious illness, and he hadn't been baptized yet. This was my youngest uncle. And she was very concerned, and she baptized him, put a little water on his forehead, because she felt if he should die, I want him to go to heaven. Too bad. Many people live with that wrong concept. And they're thinking it's the water put on the head that's going to save the child. The scripture says, believe, and thou shalt be saved. And we're told to go into all the world, make disciples, and then baptize them. So you have to be a believer first, according to the word of God. So that's one wrong concept that we want to point out. One other is, people will think you have to be baptized to be saved. It's part of getting saved. In fact, some will say it's the way you get into Christ. You're not in Christ unless you've been baptized. Now, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and notice here what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians 1 verses 17 to 18. He says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, Paul makes a distinction here between the gospel and baptism. And today, because of all the confusion, we have to point out very strongly there's a difference. And strictly speaking, baptism is not part of the gospel. There are a lot of things we do as Christians after we're saved. We had the Lord's Supper here. The Lord asked us to do this. He said, this do in remembrance of me. But it's not the gospel. There are many things we should do as Christians to live a godly life, but it's not the gospel. The gospel is the message of the cross, and Paul just defines that in chapter 15. And a couple of verses here, verses 3 and 4. Well, let's start with verse 1. Because Paul says, moreover, brothers, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which you received, and by which you stand, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So he says, this is the message, the gospel, you heard it, it saved you. Now what is this message? He says, I delivered you first of all that which I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures that he was seen. So the gospel is a message about Christ, about his death, about his resurrection, about the fact that he's ascended. And so we have to emphasize that in this day of tremendous confusion. How do you get saved? And many people say, well, you've got to be baptized. If you're not baptized, you won't be saved. It's the way you get into Christ. I remember talking to a minister here in town. He said, well, the way you get into Christ is you need to believe. That's true. But you're not in Christ until you're baptized. And there's real confusion there in that connection. So we emphasize very strongly that baptism does not save you. You can be saved without being baptized. For example, John now has been saved for over a year, and he hasn't, because of his folks' opposition, he's delayed baptism. John is just as saved now as he will be after baptism. Baptism does not save you. And we have to make that very plain. So what is he talking about here when he talks about being baptized? He's wanting us to deal with this matter of how we live after we're saved. Some people will say, okay, you're not saved by works, that means it doesn't matter how you live. It means I can just go on sinning, it means I can go on drinking, carousing, doing what I wish to do because I'm saved by grace. Paul says, no, you don't understand it at all. The old King James, I think, says, God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And now he goes to baptism and he says, I want you to think about what you portrayed and pictured when you were baptized. You were baptized into Christ's death. He points this out in verse 3. Many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. The act of baptism is picturing the fact you are linked with Christ in his death. You're united with him. You go down into the water. You come up out of the water, picturing resurrection with it. And when we bury a person, we bury them deep. When we stood at the graveside of our sister-in-law recently, there was a deep hole, around 6 feet deep, I believe. And they were going to lower the casket into that. The dirt would be piled on top of it. They didn't just sprinkle a little dirt on top of the casket and leave it on the surface. They buried it. And so it is, we say, immersion then is a picture of burial. You go under the water. And that's important. It's a picturing the burial of the Lord Jesus, with the Lord Jesus. Remember once we had a baptism and the guy was afraid of water. And afraid to put his head underwater. And I still remember he was struggling to keep his head up, you know, and the guy who was baptizing him was trying to push him under. Finally, the people who was at the lake, finally the people started shouting, push him under, push him under. And finally he went under and he was baptized. Because baptism pictures a burial. And so we say immersion then is the form. Now this truth then that you're picturing is that you died with him. The cross then is so important. When you believe, you must hear the message of the cross. And you must realize when you believe in Christ, you're accepting Him as your Savior, as your substitute. Scripture says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So we proclaim the fact that you're saved by receiving Christ, and through Him now, the penalty is paid. He's your substitute. He takes your place. And so we proclaim that in the gospel very strongly. And proclaim also the fact then when you come up out of the water, you live a new life. Verse that Toby likes, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So that this is what we're picturing. When you are baptized, this is what you picture. You are linked with Christ. You're united with Christ in His death, and in His burial, and His resurrection. That's how God looks at you. This is what I could say is your legal standing before God. And so He wants you to realize this. He emphasized very strongly in verse 6, knowing this, you need to know this. This is a fact. This is a legal fact as far as the books of heaven are concerned. That when you receive Jesus Christ, you are listed as having died with Him. You are recorded as having died with Him. And you're to know this. Now, there are a lot of people who, when they get saved, aren't very clear on some of these things. Earlier we were in Hebrews 6. And in Hebrews 6, he talks about having this promise of God as an anchor of the soul. The confidence a Christian should have, because he knows his sins are forgiven. He knows that he's a child of God. And so he says we need to know this. Know this, that our old man, our old self, in verse 6, was crucified with Him, the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You're to know this. Now, it doesn't depend on your feelings. I was thinking back to the time when my wife and I were married and walked down the aisle. And the preacher said, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Donald Norby." We were married. If you'd said to me at that moment, "Do you feel married?" I'd say, "I don't know. It's been kind of a hectic time here. And I don't feel any different than I did before. I mean, I'm myself. Nothing as magical has happened inside me, apparently. But I was legally married." He'd say to me, "Do you feel married?" I'd say, "Well, I am married. Doesn't matter how I feel, I'm legally married. It's going to be recorded in the county courthouse. We two were married." Now, he says, you need to know this as a believer. You need to be aware of this as far as the courts of heaven are concerned. You have been recorded there as having died with Christ. The old you was nailed to the cross. Whether you feel like it or not, whether the old nature is strong and vital at times and gives you a hassle, as far as God is concerned, that old person was nailed to the cross. You need to know this. This is how God views you. Now, he goes on to say something further. We died with Christ. We believe we shall also live with Him. Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Sin no longer has dominion over Him. The death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Now you know this, he says. You be aware of this reality, this fact. Now he goes on to say, in verse 11, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. So he says, know this, and then he says, reckon it so, or think it so. Think about it every day. Now, Very important how we think. Very important how we view ourselves. Now, if you view yourself, for example, as no good, as a failure, you're going to go around with a hangdog look, and you're going to be depressed, and you're going to be discouraged because you have this image of yourself. You're a failure, you're no good, and it's going to color the way you look at yourself and the way you act. So the way we think of ourselves. Now he says, I want you to think this way every day. Think that the fact is that you have died with Christ. Now, we have to do this when we're married, don't we? It's a legal fact when you get married and it's recorded in the courthouse. You are legally married. But that's very important after we're married that we think that way. So every day as a married man, I need to wake up and I need to remind myself I'm married. You go through life, you need to remind yourself you're married. You're working in an office and there's an attractive woman there. You remind yourself I'm married. You go day by day through life and you're constantly reminding yourself this is true, I'm married. Now if you do that, it's going to color the way you act. You're not going to be flirting with other women because you're reminding yourself I'm married. Your thinking will determine your actions. And that's what he's talking about here. Very important then to think right. So when sin is so appealing, he says, think dead. Realize you died with Christ. Now you're not going to respond to that. You're not going to give in to that. You're not going to let that sin dominate you anymore. You died with Christ. And as you think that way more and more, your conduct will begin to conform. Just like a man who's married. If he does that, he's constantly thinking, I'm married. I made my decision, I'm married. He's not going to be messing around with other women. But you've got to think that way. Every day, it's got to be part of your life. Now, I know of a man up in Canada who got married to quite an attractive girl. He was a nice-looking young man. But after he got married, he didn't quit seeing his old girlfriends. He said, there was nothing to it, you know, but he was kept seeing them. He'd get together with them. They would talk together. How do you suppose his wife felt? Well, she felt very unhappy. She felt threatened because he kept spending time with these old girlfriends. And as a result, the marriage eventually broke up because he wasn't thinking married. So that you've got to realize here in connection with sin, he says, just concentrate on this fact. You died with Christ, and when sin begins to take hold in your thinking, well, go back to the cross. Go back to the cross, he says. Think about the fact you died with Christ. You're not going to respond to that sin. And kill it in your minds. Now, I want to turn to James chapter 1. Because this is where all our problems start. They start in the mind, whatever the problem is. And the way we think is going to determine the way we act. And so he says here in James 1 and verse 13, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Okay, it's in his thinking. Here are these desires. Here are these thoughts. He plays with them. He thinks about them. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin when it is full grown brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So he's saying here, sin starts in your mind. You begin thinking about this. There's a desire for the thing that's forbidden. You don't deal with it in your thinking, and as a result, pretty soon it's going to become an action. And then you're going to know the pain and the sorrow of that. So you've got to, he says here, Think dead when it comes to sin. Don't toy with it. Don't play with it. Don't think that you can sin in your thoughts and it won't affect your actions. He says in time it's going to become an act, and then there's going to be real suffering and pain in your life. Brother that we know who went back to doing some drinking. With tears he was told me, he says, I don't know why I did it, I went back to it. Well, I'll tell you why he did it. He'd been thinking about doing it. He hadn't killed it in his thinking. He was thinking, I'm sure at times, you know, a cold beer would taste so good. And it'd make me feel good. Maybe just a little drink once in a while. And in his thinking, he was going back to it, and soon it became an action, and now there's a warrant out for his arrest. And they say, how sad. How sad. So here what Paul is emphasizing is, you've got to think right about sin. You've got to deal with sin. Don't play with sin. Don't toy with sin, because it'll be very destructive in your life. So he says, reckon yourselves, or think yourself, to be dead indeed to sin, alive to God. Our thinking is so important. I know myself how I have to guard my thinking. And your thinking can confuse you. Now, sometimes it's things that you'd say, well, are not really bad sins. Maybe a critical attitude. Maybe thinking wrong thoughts about a brother or sister. Or being suspicious of your husband or wife when there's no reason to be suspicious. And you let that thing just work in your mind. But he says here, watch your thinking. And in a positive way, then, he says, present your body to the Lord. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under law, but under grace. And so he says here, give yourself to God. Don't give yourself to the devil. Don't go back to sin. Don't allow the devil to deceive you and to twist your thinking. Think dead when it comes to sin. And refuse to respond to the devil. And it's sad when you see some men who haven't watched their thinking, some women, and whose lives become very, very confused. So we present our bodies to Him. Give ourselves to Him. Give yourself to Him daily. You know, the priest had a daily offering. Every morning, there was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. And it's good as we begin the day to pray. And, you know, just say, Lord, here's a new day. I want to give myself to you. I want to give my body to you. I want to live for you. And to present our bodies to God, to give ourselves to Him as a sacrifice. Paul pleads with us in Romans 12 to do that. Give your body to God. And it's a decision you make, and a decision you make over and over. You reinforce it and you repeat it, giving yourself to God. You know, on Sunday we had a brother speaking here with us, and I remember when he was a boy in high school, and he came up to me after a meeting and he said, Uncle Don, I've never given my body to Jesus. He says, I've accepted the Lord as my Savior, but I've never given myself to Him. I'd like to give myself to Him. And we prayed, and he did that. A very important decision. I'm sure it changed the whole direction of his life. And we, as we do that, this is what he's asking us to do. Don't give yourself to Satan. Give yourself to God. Every day, guard your thinking. Think dead with regard to sin. Don't allow sin to come into your minds, and don't toy with it. Don't play with it. Don't fantasize with sin. He says, kill it. Be merciless with sin. Don't allow it to have any life in your thinking. so much of that today, so much pornography. The devil is just using the sex drive in the man and woman and just exploiting it. And there are many who've turned away from moral absolutes and whose lives are just full of unhappiness and confusion. And it's tragic. It's tragic. Because they're allowing sin to dominate. Now, as you come to verses 14 to 23, we're going to read those too. He says, sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he says you're going to serve someone. You're going to be someone's slave. You're either going to be a slave of God or a slave of the devil. You think you're free. You think you're, you know, going to run your own life. Paul is saying either God's going to run your life or the devil's going to run it. You've got to make a choice. And he's telling us as Christians, choice is something that goes on through life. I thought it'd be nice if the moment you accepted Christ, if you could say, okay, I made the choice, now I don't have to make any more choices. I'll always do the right thing. But that isn't so. You've got the old nature, and every day we're making choices. Making choices about how we're going to think, about how we're going to act. And he pleads with us here, don't give yourself over to the devil. Used to do that. Used to give your body to Satan to use. Maybe you weren't even aware of it. By rejecting God and his word, that's what you were doing. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. Think about the results of your action when you did that. Think about, did it produce happiness in your life? Did it produce life itself, or did it bring death really into your experience? He says the truth is sin brings death, brings sorrow, brings unhappiness. Don't be so foolish then as to give your members, make that choice, I'm going to give myself to sin. How sad, how sad, how sad. And don't think because you've been saved a long time that you're not so strong, you'll never make a wrong choice. Frank, who preached here some years ago, told me, I talked to him after he had made had a moral lapse. And really, he's out of preaching, and it's been a tragic thing in his family's life and all. But he said to me, he said, you know, I was too self-confident. He said, I thought I would never do anything like this. And he relaxed his guard, and he ended up doing something that brought reproach upon himself and his family and has been very destructive in his life. And he spoke with tremendous emotion. I was deceived. I was confused. So Paul was saying, don't be deceived. Every day you're going to make choices. Every day the devil's going to be standing there saying, come on, do Do it my way. Do what I'm encouraging you to. God, on the other hand, is standing there saying, give yourself to me. Live a righteous life. Do what's right. And here, really what Paul is saying is, you make a choice. You choose. Every day you make choices. Choose for God. Give yourself to God. Don't think you can't slip back. Don't think you can't fall into confusion. There's a strong warning here. Give yourself to God. And he says, as such, in verse 17, what's going to control my life? He says, God be thanked, though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which you were delivered. Form or mold or pattern. When I was in high school, I took a course in shop, and my father isn't that mechanical. He didn't have a lot of tools or that. So it was quite an experience for me. We worked some of the metal lathe, and we did some welding, and then we had foundry. That was interesting. You'd make a pattern out of wood, usually carve it and make it, and then came to the time when you were going to make an impression in the mold with the pattern, and then you heated the metal until it was molten. I still have a few of those things that I made. When the metal was molten, you poured it and into the mold, and then it took the form of the pattern. And when it would cool, you could take it out, and there it would be. It was like the original patterns. Now what he's saying here is, as Christians, the Word of God is that which should mold my life. And so that's why we emphasize so teaching and the Word of God. And as Christians, what we want to do is every day give ourselves to God and then look to the Word of God. And as we look at it, as we read it, to say, oh God, help me now to conform to it. Help my life to be formed by this, so that my life is a beautiful life, a life that is pleasing to you. And when we do that, then we know the blessing of experiencing eternal life in a practical way, day by day. And the Christian life becomes better as we move along through life itself. Beware, Paul would say to all of us, beware of thinking that you can't sin or won't slip back. Be sure that you give yourself to God